Welcome to another episode of Inside Golden State Politics. I'm Bill Boyarsky, former city editor and columnist for the Los Angeles Times. And with me is Nancy Boyarsky, our producer-director.
And I'm Sherry Bebich-Jeffy, political analyst and self-styled media maven, coming to you from a state of sheer numbness. I'm angry, but I'm numb, frozen in the wake of the leak of a draft of the Supreme Court's opinion on Roe v. Wade. I'm aghast at what rights might tumble next. Contraception, same-sex marriage, what? Elections are upon us, people. Please vote as though your rights depend on it, because they do. Over to you, Bill.
Our guest today is a lawyer who knows a lot about this, and he's a candidate for mayor. Mike Feuer is former city councilman, former member of the state assembly, and is now controller.
No.
He's now
city attorney.
Is now the city attorney.
You've been demoted, Mike.
Just for a second.
City attorney Mike Feuer, who I met many years ago when you were a lawyer for Beth Zedek and you handled the cases of many, many poor people who were facing evictions, and you saved their homes and did a lot of good. Mike, we are considering and talking about the Supreme Court's decision, which in effect wipes out Roe v. Wade.
Not yet.
It's a draft decision. And the Chief Justice has confirmed that it is legitimate. Mike, how will this affect California? How will it affect Los Angeles? How will it affect the mayor's election? You know, because it goes beyond abortion. It really impacts privacy rights. It impacts marriage rights, all kinds of things. It's very broad. How's it going to affect us out here?
Yeah, it's a great question. And as we get started here, I do want to say, Sherry and Bill, what a pleasure it is to be with two of the most exceptional journalists in politics that California has seen. It's really, seriously, this is a pleasure. We need more of you out there. So let me talk about the decision in the context of the race. And then I'll continue to say flattering things about you. So you'll be nice to me.
To an hour.
Yeah, that's right. But seriously, though, for a second, I was devastated when last night I saw the story break. I have fought for a woman's right to choose for decades. You will remember, both of you, when Operation Rescue came to Los Angeles in the 1980s, I stood with arms linked at women's clinics with Operation Rescue bullies literally trying to bite and kick and claw their way past us as we were trying to defend women's clinics while police officers were on horseback nearby trying to keep order. I remember those days, and I'm outraged by this. I led my office as city attorney to fight for the right to choose in the Supreme Court. And I'm the only public lawyer in California to enforce what was called the FACT Act to require crisis pregnancy centers to let women know what their full reproductive rights are. So I got views on this issue. And I have a wife and I have a daughter. And this is extraordinary. You saw Susan Collins today saying, gee, this is contrary to everything that Gorsuch and Kavanaugh said to me. And I want to shake Senator Collins by the lapels and say, well, of course, how could you have been bamboozled that way? And by the way, what about your friend Mitch McConnell, without whom we wouldn't be here at this moment? Because had he not blocked Merrick Garland, the composition of the court would look very different. And right now, a woman's right to choose would be enshrined in the Constitution without challenge.
Is there anything that California legislature can do to strengthen our own abortion laws?
Yeah, well, you know, just a few hours ago, Newsom has said that the governor has said that with other lawmakers, he wants to explicitly enshrine a right to choose in California's constitution, which already has a right to privacy in it. That would be a good step. But I want to go back to one of Sherry's questions, which I hadn't gotten to yet. And that is, what is this? What impact, I think both of you actually, what impact does this have here in Los Angeles? And here's the deal. The mayor's race includes someone like myself with this decades-long experience supporting a right to choose, and someone like Rick Caruso, who has opposed a woman's right to choose, who's bankrolled McConnell and McCarthy, who held fundraisers for anti-choice presidential candidates from Bush to Romney to Kasich. And so let's be real. The next mayor of the city is going to play an outsized role in influencing American politics, not just LA politics, second largest city in the country, big voice. And by the way, and you could see LA being a city that provided sanctuary for women seeking abortions from throughout the country. So this is an issue that should play a meaningful role here in this election in Los Angeles. The choices are very stark. I've always supported a right to choose. Caruso hasn't. I've got LA values. Caruso doesn't. Big issue here right now.
What I hear you saying is it's sort of has the potential of throwing a hand grenade into the campaign for Los Angeles mayor. Do you think that it mixes up the arithmetic? How do you go from here as a candidate for LA mayor in terms of articulating how important you perceive this to be?
I tried to do it just now. I'm going to be doing what I said just a moment ago. There is no candidate
where people can see it and hear it.
Well, yes, I understand. You're going to be seen and heard shortly on this. But seriously, I already have a statement out this morning on this issue. I have a separate statement as city attorney, but I just yes, you've seen it. Yeah,
I've got it in my hand.
Right. And the thing is, Sherry, it isn't just Bill said this, and he was just right. It isn't abortion alone. What I want to do is highlight my record supporting women for decades, because there is no candidate in this race who has my concrete record of supporting women. Concrete is an important word. And why is that an issue in the mayor's race? Domestic violence is one of the leading causes of homelessness in our city. The mayor can play a key role in combating domestic abuse, providing shelter, and so on. What we do with women and children in this city, as you know, for a long time, the plurality of homeless people on the street were women who couldn't afford first and last in security deposit. Bill mentioned my work at Beth Zedek. That was the way things were then. That's still a big issue now. The mayor of the city of Los Angeles is going to be central to women's issues and women's rights. And I will challenge any of my opponents to compare their record to mine.
Mike, Sherry and I have been talking about an issue that has been in the background involving your office and the Department of Water and Power. It's a complex issue.
Well, I'll try to frame it. And you're great, Mike, you're going to have to put in some of the details. It's a very complex issue. But could you walk us through the dynamics of the Department of Water and Power's what they are calling excessive billing debacle, the ensuing litigation, the federal investigation that has begun, and walk us through your actions, your reactions regarding the events surrounding all of this. To paraphrase the late Senator Howard Baker, what did you know? And when
fair enough. So no, I'm really glad you asked. So maybe, I don't know, 8 years ago, 7, 8 years ago, the Department of Water and Power rolled out a billing system that didn't work and customers got overcharged. There were lawyers who sued the city over that issue. I wanted, and I was joined by leaders at Water and Power, to have ratepayers get every nickel back to which they were entitled, everything that they were overcharged. And so the city defended that lawsuit, but not in a heavy litigation way. We tried to resolve that lawsuit as quickly as possible. And we also sued a consulting firm that we alleged had helped create the problems that led to that billing debacle. So things were moving forward. The case was getting resolved. The litigation was happening. And then more than 3 years ago, there began to be raised some issues about what was happening in the litigation. And as soon as that happened, I took action. I severed, we'd hired outside lawyers. I severed ties with them. I indicated if a judge had said, you know, Mr. Fuhrer might want to consider an internal investigation of what happened in this case. I said, not good enough. And I hired an outside ethics expert to conduct an external review of all the lawyers' work in this case. And then, Sherry, something happened. In April of 2019, I was shown email traffic on a Thursday night. I remember it very vividly, that showed that the outside lawyers we had hired had helped opposing lawyers to sue the city. And I did what a leader who is transparent and decisive should do. Thursday night, I found that out. Friday, I gave it to the press and to the court because I wanted the public to know that this had happened. I then went on to publish the report of the outside ethics expert. I said no matter what her conclusions were, I would report them online. And I issued a series of strong reforms to prevent this from happening again. Then, maybe 3 or 4 months ago, it was revealed that one of those outside lawyers actually took a kickback from the opposing counsel he'd helped to sue the city and concealed it as a real estate transaction. And finally, one lawyer in my office also confessed to committing a crime. So, Sherry, here's the bottom line. I am responsible for everything in my office. We have had 340,000 cases since I have been city attorney. I'm responsible for every law we've written, about 2,000 of them. I've had about 1,000 people in my office day in, day out. I own every single thing they've done for the last 9 years, all of it. And I hired the lawyer who of those 1,000 people who confessed to that crime. And so I'm responsible for hiring him. I'm also responsible for making sure our office hasn't missed a beat ever since these things happened. And that's what I've done. And you've seen in just in the last couple of weeks, key examples of how our office continues to be a major force for good in our city. So that's what happened. That's how I've handled it. And I will say, as I conclude here, I think that most of the leaders of any consequence in our country have faced a problem that they never anticipated. The question isn't, is such a thing going to occur? The question is, what do you do when you find out? Do you act transparently? Do you act decisively? Do you take responsibility? I've done those things.
Do you think you should have known that this was happening while it was happening? Do you think you should have been more perceptive in spotting the people who are accused of being bad actors in this?
You know, I thought about that a lot. And, you know, the lengths that people went to conceal their misconduct, again, concealing a kickback as a real estate transaction, that's the kind of thing that I would never know about, not with the volume of work we have, not with the delegation responsibility in my office. I don't think that is possible. But it is the case, again, that doesn't mean that I'm responsible for that happening. But no, I think it's you know, I handled that case the way, you know, an attorney general would handle a big case, you know, tens of thousands of cases every year, hundreds of thousands. What I need to do is to effectively delegate to people who've done good work. And for what it's worth, that had been the case here. I delegated this to the top two lawyers in my office to oversee with 60 years of litigation experience between them and awards for doing that. One of those lawyers made a serious mistake. And parenthetically, it's a lawyer whose resignation I sought and received 3 years ago. The lawyer who confessed to the crime hasn't been in our office for 3 years because I'd asked for his resignation for other reasons earlier.
Mike, how do you get that message across to voters? I mean, you know that there will be candidates, one, maybe more, who will try to make an issue out of all of this. And it is extremely, extremely complex. That's going to take money. How are you going to get that message communicated? And how are you going to get voters who believe that politicians, by and large, are, you know, crooks from day one? And
right.
I'm not slapping you at all. I'm just telling you about perceptions. What do you do?
Yeah. So great question. One of the strongest elements of my political career, of my life, has been my focus on ethics. I remember when Bill was on the Ethics Commission, for example, we worked together on issues. the fact that I was the leader on the city council on ethics reform, writing key legislation, writing a charter amendment that increased the independence of the Ethics Commission. If anything, it's ironic, as you know, my reputation has been for being particularly rigid about ethics issues, and as one should be. And that, I will say, has been sticking with voters. And I'll tell you, here's how I know this. I've been going to all of LA's neighborhoods. There are 101 of them in the city. I just finished going to the 101st on Sunday. So what I do, so you know, is I go to a community. We, through email and text and leafleting, let people know I'm going to be there. Anybody who wants to come to see me comes. I have no staff to intervene, no filters. They ask me any question. It's called Every Neighbor, any question. In 101 of those, and again, I would say at least 115 hours or so of discussion with people, this issue has come up like five times.
Ah.
I mean, no one has asked me about this for weeks.
Mike, there's one thing I'm sure people ask you about all the time, and that's the homeless. And that's the encampments on the city streets and in the city parks and under the freeways. You have proposed appointing a homeless czar or top assistant. I always, when anyone recommends appointing a czar, I always think of what happened to the last czar of Russia and hope this one does a little better. Let's say you appoint somebody to take charge. What power and what authority would this czar have, since authority is now split between the city of Los Angeles and the county of Los Angeles?
So, Bill, you will be pleased to know that I've never used the word czar, but the piece that I wrote that precipitated this was in the LA Times. And the LA Times, 4 years ago, attached to my piece the headline, LA Needs a Homeless Czar. So I'm stuck with that. But the fact of that article, though, is actually really important in the context of this race, because what I wrote has been shamelessly borrowed from by each of my opponents. I wrote, you'll recall, that if there were an earthquake, we'd have a FEMA field general here on the ground in charge of recovery. We have the equivalent of that disaster. It's homelessness, and no one's in charge. And you guys both know City Hall enough to know that ruffled a lot of feathers in City Hall when the city attorney wrote a piece in the LA Times like that. It took months of frustration before I felt the need to write that piece. But if I gave to the many people in City Hall a little piece of any problem to solve, but had no one asserting authority to make sure that they consolidated their work and it got done in a timely way, it would not get solved. And that's what I meant in my first day as mayor. I'm pointing somebody to do that. Now, Bill, you ask a key question, and you both know the city's charter well. Remember, on the city council, I initiated charter reform in the city council and fought for change that consolidated the authority of every city department under the mayor. But you wouldn't know that now. In LA, it appears as though there are 15 different sets of rules depending upon which council district you're in.
Well, there are.
Yeah, but the thing is, the council members, though, do not control those departments. In answer to Bill's question, the mayor does. And I'm going to assert that authority. The role of this person who's in charge, my point person on homelessness, is to develop clarity, consistency with timeframes and measures of success and accountability that every taxpayer can see. And for what it's worth, you might have seen the county just released a report advocating the same approach in the county. And it's about time.
Okay, Mike, I'm going to ask you the question that I ask everyone, and you're right. I mean, you all have broad plans for dealing with homelessness, and I agree that there must be something beyond simple housing. We're talking about mental health. We're talking about addiction. We're talking about safety and education. And here's the question. How are you going to pay for it all?
Yeah. So the answer is it depends on the element we're talking about. So, for example, I was the first elected official in Los Angeles 5-6 years ago to call for converting motels into housing for people experiencing homelessness. It's existing infrastructure, and there are two key words, Sherry, cheaper and faster than building ground up. So there are funding sources for that, but the operations And services like mental health and substance abuse, that's a different funding stream. That's basically a county funding stream. And that leads the mayor of Los Angeles to need to be working relentlessly with county leaders collaboratively on this issue. It's the opposite of what's happening right now. I don't understand it. I have said to county supervisors as city attorney that I will go with you to Washington to seek funding changes so Medicaid flows more freely to reimburse us for mental health services, to change rules and so on. And I don't understand why this collaboration hasn't happening right now. So Sherry, the answer is there is some general fund money. You know, when I was on the city council, we spent a pittance on homelessness. This year's budget, more than $1 billion of general fund money on homelessness. It's a priorities thing. But there's also one-time state money, which I would allocate to capital expenses and ongoing operating expenses that we can get more federal funding for. The county and the city need to be collaborating on this issue as opposed to right now where we see arguing with each other.
Yeah, that's part of it. But if you had to raise taxes to make this whole broad palette of services to decrease, if not end, homelessness work, would you support raising taxes in order to get rid of homelessness, in order to provide the services along with bricks and mortar that are needed to make this program work?
Not yet.
Why?
I mean, because I don't think voters have any faith in our ability to spend the money we have right now.
Well, isn't one of the reasons for that, voters on two occasions, one on with county sales tax and one with a city bond issue, have voted really large amounts of money to get rid of homelessness. That's what the voters thought. And after voting for that, two increases, they still walk out of their house and see those encampments. I would think that voters would find it very difficult to vote for another tax increase.
Yes. And Bill, I completely agree with what you just said. And for what it's worth, Sherry, it is the case that over time, we're going to need more resources, but we need to effectively and efficiently, with a level of will that we haven't been able to muster, spend that money right now. A lot of this, Sherry, is about leadership and execution. Bill, when you covered City Hall, you know that the elected officials who were effective were the ones who could execute and not merely talk about a problem. And right now, one thing that differentiates my candidacy from all my opponents, none of them has public sector executive experience except me. And for what it's worth, my office won the American Bar Association's top award in the nation for a public law office. So I know how to get it done.
You know, there's another issue that people talk, I'm sure, ask you about as you go from neighborhood to neighborhood, and that's environmental justice. In other words, why is there an old oil well near the school down the street from me? Why don't people crack down on these polluters? Why don't we ban oil drilling from the coastline and from it within the city? You know, we're still drilling for oil in the city limits. Can't you do something about, what can the mayor do about that? Environmental justice.
Great question. Let me go through very specifically, Bill. So as city attorney, I've made that a priority. So you saw recently that we sued Monsanto over the dumping of PCBs that caused cancer into waterways adjacent to low-income communities. I sued Alanco, an oil production facility near USC, because neighbors nearby said they had nosebleeds and respiratory problems, very low-income, predominantly Latino community. And we made sure it was shut down until it could operate in a way that was clean and safe, and it hasn't reopened. I sued a scrap metal facility over the fence from Jordan High School that was sending shrapnel onto the athletic field of that school in one of the most underserved communities of the city. I could go on. My point is that as city attorney, I've tried to exemplify the very approach you're describing, which is not just to talk about environmental justice, but to fight for it. And as mayor, there are many things we can do. And just really quickly, we can say that no oil production facility will remain in the city after a period of years and amortize those costs over a period of time and shut them down. We can say that abandoned oil wells, a huge issue in our city, will be prioritized, and the mayor will seek not only local, but state and federal funding to cap those abandoned oil wells that are almost all in underserved communities. The Port of LA is a huge source of pollution in an underserved community. We can not only electrify the port itself, but demand that the shipping that comes in is fully electrified. There is a corridor with Shanghai we could develop more fully like that. We could be focusing on alternative sources of fuels for those ships that are less polluting. I know we have time is short, but there's a lot of stuff we can do. And yep, the mayor can play a leading role. And one thing I wanted to display with that answer, guys, is there's a major difference among the candidates as to who can display a command of the issues and the detail necessary to effectively manage the city. On environmental justice and every issue we're discussing, I'm that guy. I think we have time for one more question.
Yeah, well, I'm going to end with a nerd question, okay? My political science genes are busting at the straight seams. As a mayor, what do you see as the role of the LA City Council in governing Los Angeles? What should it be? I mean, how do you govern effectively and represent this crazy quilt of demographics that is Los Angeles?
Yeah. So as you know, I proposed cutting council districts in half. I was a city council member, as Bill mentioned. The size of my city council district, the size of Buffalo, New York, or Boise, Idaho, or Baton Rouge, Louisiana, just my council district, right? So while I tried very, very hard to have every neighborhood feel as though I lived there because I want to be responsive to their needs, when you have 260,000 constituents, as current council members have, that is a challenge. And many people feel underserved. If you got those districts in half, then you'd have much more manageable districts. There'd be more responsive city government, and there'd be more diversity in City Hall because neighborhoods like Koreatown could have their own council member.
So now, 30 members.
Yeah, 30 members. You might remember when I was doing charter reform that there were two different competing matters on the ballot. And there were also proposals to increase the council size then. I was in favor of making smaller council districts back then. And I continue to think that that's an important approach that we should be taking. Now, the council, Sherry, in short, is a legislative body. It should be enacting laws. The mayor is the chief executive of the city. The mayor should be running the city departments, and they should be interacting with each other, council and mayor, on key policies in the city. That's what I think.
Mike, thank you very much for being our guest. We appreciate this good, long discussion of the issues.
Thanks, Mike. Hey,
no, it's terrific being with you. And may I just say, do this a lot more. I wish we could see more of you. You guys are great. Take care.
Thank you. I'll give you your 10% later.
Yeah, fair enough. It's probably more. I can't take anything. I'm a public official. I got nothing from this.
Sorry.
See you later.
Erase
Thanks,
that.
Mike.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.